Friday afternoon, roll until 2 o'clock today. We've got a phenomenal segment on the way, I believe, because what we are going to do now is talk to Dan Wetzel, who is co-author of a book called Death to the BCS. So all you TCU fans out there that are hoping and praying, we're going to find out some answers about just how shady this organization is. Dan is an award-winning sports writer, author, and screenwriter. He's covered all levels of basketball as well as college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NHL. And again, he's co-author of the new book, Death of the BCS, The Definitive Case Against the Bowl Championship Series. Dan, thanks for your time. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you there. Sorry about that, Dan.
No problem.
Thanks for joining us, first of all. I mean, this is really exciting for us who, Matt and I have been talking college football all year and have just been pulling our hair out at the hypocrisy of the system and how really, the powers that be can make the bowl system look and appear any way that they want. And they can really put whoever they want in the game just based off of how they benefit by money. And I wanted to kind of get learn how this came together and how this book and what really inspired you to write it and to take on this challenge. Because as I understand it, you spent 2 years of research before you started writing this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I have a day job at writing columns for Yahoo Sports. It's not like I spent, you know, 8 hours a day. But, yeah, we started by doing a bunch of a series of stories a few years back, and it basically was, you know, why do we really have the BCS? Because we've heard the propaganda, the excuses, it's academics, it's, you know, what is Gordon G., you know, we don't like tournaments except for the basketball one and the field hockey one, all the others. We don't, you know, we must protect the sanctity of the PapaJohns.com Bowl, things
right.
like that. So you say, you know, what's the real issue? So we wanted to get into it and go beyond the sort of, you know, the same tired, wearisome arguments over whether Boise State has a strength of schedule is high enough or something. And, you know, you follow the money, you talk to all the different people. We pulled thousands of pages of tax documents of bowl games. We looked at all the university contracts and emails between the chancellors and presidents and the television deals and all the different stuff and talked to all the people involved and kind of, you know, peeled the whole thing apart and started looking at who's really benefiting financially, how the system works or doesn't work, the completely illogical nature in which it's been born. And that was really the goal of the book. And I think that's why, you know, they've been so successful, because I think everybody, even if you like, you know, you're not a playoff person, you know, there's some that aren't. I think everybody kind of sits back and goes, how the heck did we end up with this thing?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at how the BCS is each year had to really tweak itself and grow. I know they redid it after USC was left out of the national championship game in 2003. They changed the formula. But really what you have here is the BCS is a corporation in itself, kind of like, you know, with the Enron scandal and the AIG. You have a bunch of people that are really in bed together making money, like the bowl committees, the people that run like, you know, the Outback Bowl or whatever. And the presidents of these conferences are all the ones that benefit from the BCS. But they right. hide behind this, I guess you could say, this force field of trying to say, you know, you can't talk about this because it's bad. We're saying we can't play this because of the student athlete. And a lot of people are saying they don't want to take on the challenge, and they're hiding behind this lie, saying that they can't play more games because it'll hurt eight guys on, you know, from eight different universities.
Yeah, you know, their excuses really don't hold water. I mean, what they're left with is Gordon G. basically, you know, ripping the players on other teams. I mean, that's
right.
about their best argument they got. They don't have an argument. Once you look logically at, we took every argument they ever put forth in front of Congress, radio shows, anything, and we tear it apart. The regular season would be affected. Every single TV executive says the ratings and interest would go up if you had a playoff. The academics, you'd miss class time now. You can play the whole thing over Christmas break. The money, I mean, give me a break. All the different stuff. This is what it's about, okay? There's a small group of people, mainly bowl directors, making a great deal of money off of college football. And that's because historically they were able to, really in the last 20 years, entrench themselves not as the purveyors of exhibition football games that just happen to take place a month after the season, but as the people who operate and thus profit off college football's postseason. The people that run the NFL playoffs are the NFL. people that run the baseball playoffs is the MLB. The people that run college football's postseason is not the colleges and universities. It's the single most important thing you need to know. You have bowl directors, third-party groups running the postseason. And they come in, they take 50, 60% of the revenue of a football game, a postseason game, whether it's the Fiesta Bowl or the Roadies Truck Stop Humanitarian Bowl. They pay themselves $300,000 to $650,000 a year to run a single game. They make the Sugar Bowl one year made $11 million in profit. They turn huge profit margins. They absolutely have entrenched themselves in something they should have no business doing. And the issue is college football letting somebody else run their most important product and outsourcing their most profitable product. And so those people that have a say in this, and they shouldn't, because when you talk to a bowl director, the first thing they say is it's not about putting the two best teams together. It's about who has the biggest fan base,
right?
Who's travels, who's tickets. Well, why would you run a sport where the people that run the postseason say, we don't care about what actually happened on the field. We just want to sell tickets. It's totally illogical. So they let these guys do it, and that's the biggest issue. Those guys that run a bowl game will say and do anything to keep their position. They're running businesses. I don't blame them. They've caught guys like Ohio State President Gordon G completely walking slow, and they're making a mint off them. And so when you listen to Gordon G talk last week, there's an argument you can say, hey, TCU doesn't deserve to get in the game over Oregon and Auburn. That's a fine talk radio debate. But what he's really talking about is he goes, I don't understand football. I don't understand how the BCS works. I don't understand how a playoff would work. I just happen to like this thing.
Absolutely.
And that's what they've done. They've convinced these guys to vote without having any idea what they're talking about, and they're letting hundreds of millions of dollars walk right out the door.
And it's, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's really the hundreds or millions of dollars is maybe the BCS right now as it stands. There might be, just say, $100 million out there, but the BCS is getting 80% of that pie, while the other schools like the TCUs and Boise's are left just fighting for 20%. A playoff would share the wealth. They might make more money for college football overall, but it gives less, I guess you could say, a smaller piece of the pie to the BCS schools,
well,
conferences.
Well, actually, I would classify it two ways. They want you to have that debate because then schools with the fans of the bigger schools will say, hey, that's good, we're getting more money. One of the big things they've done is try to divide and conquer by making this a big school versus small school debate, and it really isn't. The big schools are getting cheated out way worse than the small schools are. It's really not about access to TCU and Boise State and those types of teams. We're selling way more books in Alabama and Florida than we are in, you know, Boise and things like that. What you have is two things. First off, you stage a game. I'll give you an example. The Chick-fil-A Bowl in Atlanta, okay? Next week, the SEC will hold its championship game in Atlanta. It'll do about $12.9 million in revenue. And the conference will spend $1 million running the game, and they'll take the remaining $11.9 million, and it all goes to the SEC. Oh, 3 weeks later, they'll put an SEC team against an ACC team in the Chick-fil-A Bowl in the exact same building. They'll have the same network. ESPN will televise it. They'll sell the game out because they may not sell it out, but they'll come close. It's one of the few games to sell out. And the Chick-fil-A people will pay out just $5.9 million. They will take 53% of the money right off the bat. And so right away, you've just lost $6 million. Stage the game for one, $5 million out the bat because they've cut that so big. When you get to the, so already you're losing half your money just with the current bowl system, just by not running your own postseason and operating your own games. Now, that number gets even bigger when you get to the Fiesta Bowl and the title game and all that. They'll make tens of millions of dollars, a $10 million profit Fiesta Bowl will this year. When you get, then you say, well, all right, let's say we have a playoff. A playoff would earn four times the kind of money that you got the BCS. So in two different ways, colleges are getting cheated out. They're not making the money they should on this system, and then if they employed the new system, they would make another $400 or $500 million, and you could keep all your bowl games alive and you can keep going on. But it's all about money. You have people cutting in on that pie. There's no reason for the SEC and the ACC to let somebody else take 53% of the profits or the revenue when all they got to do is stage a football game. They know how to run a football game.
Again, we are talking to Dan Wetzel. He is co-author of the book Death to the BCS as we dive into all these inner workings of the BCS. Matt McLaren, David Newberry here on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. Dan, if that's the case, if these schools can make more money if they do go to a playoff system, what power does this entity known as the BCS hold over these conference commissioners to keep them in this current structure?
Well, some of them are trying to get out. I mean, one of the big fallacies, too, is that nobody wants it. The presidents are against it. That's not true. There's tons of presidents that are favorite. 2 years ago, the SEC and the ACC tried to push for a plus one or a four-team playoff. Yep. They wanted more, but politically they thought this is all we could get across. Once you get to four, it's going to go to 8 or 12. It's going to expand, and you're going to take seize momentum on it. And I said it did not go because the Big Ten, the Pac-10 didn't want it. The Big 12 voted against it against all known reason because they almost lost their league because of it. And the Big East, even more moronically, was against it. But there's plenty of people that want to change it, and I think you will. Jim Tressel was saying last week that within 5 years we're going to have a playoff because of the money. The money will change everything. College sports moves extremely slow, but the money at stake here. You have Cal Berkeley cutting sports. You have, you know, the University of Virginia hit their students up for $11 million in fees to offset athletic losses. There's so much cash getting lost here that they need the money to go. And it's really just, it's a slow progress. One of the biggest problems you have is there's no one in charge of college football in this country. Roger Goodell would never allow a third party to run the NFC championship game. Okay? They're going to run it in their building and make all the money. But in college football, we don't have that person. And so it's a slow process, and you literally have guys like Gordon G who have no idea what they're talking about, just saying, "I'm going to block this because I enjoy the mystery of it all," and that's what's slowing this thing down. But it will happen because the money is on the side of the playoff. They're not going to do this. The Big 12 schools are not going to do this because they want to be nice to TCU. They're going to do it because Oklahoma State could go 12-1, and they're going to get stuck playing in a two-third empty building or a half-filled building against a five-loss Big East team.
Right.
And not make nearly the money they should. That's why it's going to change.
Well, let's debunk a couple more myths here. The other one being, and this is the one that Matt and I have tackled today, that it would hurt the regular season and it would diminish the regular season. And Matt and I said, look, we're not asking for a 128-game playoff or a 64-game playoff. Right. We're asking for maybe 8 to 16 teams. And I just brought up this case, and I wanted to get your opinion of it. Don't you think that yesterday would have mattered more if there was a playoff, an 18 playoff, like Alabama, even with two losses, number 9, you know, they're playing for a chance to play for a national title again. You know, LSU, Arkansas today, A&M, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. I mean, even last night, Boise and Nevada, yesterday kind of felt like a quarterfinal round for me because there was so much on the line for these teams. You win, you advance, and you're still alive. And I think if you do that across the country, then you have, you know, so many more games that matter at the end of the year. And if you lose one or two games, then your season isn't over. And you don't see teams like, you know, we can debate whether Utah's good or not. But Utah, after they lost to TCU, was so deflated because they knew they couldn't overcome that one loss that they laid an egg against Notre Dame.
Yeah, Virginia Tech lost to James Madison. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And every single person that we talked to, we didn't go to the PR people and all that. You start getting into the sports marketers, the TV execs, on and off the record, things like that. Everybody says that the ratings would go up. You take today's game, Ohio State, Michigan, do you really care?
Right.
You do if Ohio State's playing for not only a bid, but what if they can get a home game? What if Wisconsin can get a home game? What if they lose and your team gets in? Last night, was Boise really playing for anything?
Right. I mean,
are they really going to get in? No, they're probably not. They were playing for the right to complain that they got cheated. That was about all they were playing for. Well, now Nevada might be, I mean, you know, who knows? You got an 18 playoff. Everything that happened yesterday is exactly the same, but more teams have something at stake. And today's games are filled. Oklahoma State is not sitting there saying, there's enough on the line. It's not like it's not exciting. But you imagine if you say, hey, Oklahoma State, you got a shot to still play for the national championship. You might be able to host a first-round game, be the biggest thing in the history of Stillwater. Or if you win two more games, you get to go play five-loss Pitt on a weeknight in January in the Fiesta Bowl. It's not even close to the same deal. So every expert says the interest goes up. This is the talking point they want to throw at you. Look what happened to men's basketball and college basketball. College basketball, 59%. There's a Big Six conferences. There are slots available for 59% of those teams to make. If you have an 8-team playoff and 120 teams, you know, you're at, what, 6%?
Right.
It's not even close to the same thing. Basketball, you play three times as many games. You know, I mean, it's just not even – they want to compare two different sports. What they don't want to do is compare the NFL and college football. In NFL, 37.5% of teams get in, not 6%. And even if you just go to the big six school, you know, leagues, you'd have, let's say, you know, a Boise or TCU doesn't even get in. You got eight slots, you know, on 66 teams. It's not even remotely mathematically close. They always want to muddy the water with something else. The regular season ratings and interest would soar dramatically with a playoff.
I think one of the great chapters in this book is Fooling the Voters in Chapter 12, when you talk about Les Miles and how they just had their second loss of the regular season and how he's just talking to his wife, and his wife basically throws out, just to comfort him, you're still undefeated in the regular, you know, in regulation, and how, you know, the Les Miles thought, you know what, you're right. What really matters in the BCS is not wins and losses, but really what people think about your losses. And your only loss is only a loss is if you're truly punished for it. And so the BCS has created these smooth-talking salesmen that are head coaches, where they really are politicians at the end of the game, talking and really good, just trying to win over the hearts of the media.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because we have stuff from, I've spoken to both of them about it, you know, at different times, but Bob Stoops and Mac Brown say it's one of the worst things that have happened in their sport. They used to win a game and they used to be able to celebrate and say, we won the game. We won by 1 point. Who cares? Now they have to go in and say, well, wasn't so bad. Maybe we should have done better. They have to spin it. You had this year earlier when Oklahoma was playing at Mizzou and they're down 9 points. It's 4th and 10 with 2.5 minutes left, and Stoops punted the ball, gave up on the comeback, and he said he did it because if he only lost by 9, it might, and the season played out differently, he might not be punished as much as if he had gone for it, failed, and Missouri scores and wins by 16. So you have basically Oklahoma giving up. Yeah, a 9-point comeback with 2.5 minutes left is not, you know, not probable, but we've seen it happen. It's football. But you've seen the whole game change the way it's played. You see, we show in there how everyone is duck great non-conference opponents, and even though the season's expanded, it's now everyone's playing 1AA's and the cheaper teams just to get to 12-0. Because if you can't get to 12-0, you're out. There's just so many different things where they've ended up hurting the regular season, and yeah, the politicians and the spins. I said all day yesterday, Auburn did not have to win that game.
Exactly.
Yet. If they lost by if Alabama had kicked a field goal at the end and won by 2, Auburn could have gone to the Southeastern Conference Championship game, blown out South Carolina, and said, hey, we're a one-loss team. Our only loss by 1-2 points at Alabama. We deserve to go, and I bet they would have gotten in.
I couldn't agree with you more.
They pretend every game matters, but it doesn't matter for everyone.
Absolutely.
All right, Dan, great stuff. We appreciate your time today. I wish we had more time with you because it is a fascinating topic. And, again, the name of the book is Death to the BCS. Dan, thanks so much for being with us.
Anytime, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot. Take care. Dan Wetzel, again, author of the book Death to the BCS, here with the Scrubs on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. Next, we get back into the Dallas Cowboys.
Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket says the Rangers season ended. The Cowboys season was over before it began.
Did you notice all those empty seats at our stadium yesterday?
But the Mavs and Stars are playing on right now. Two hot teams off to hot starts. And the Ticket is holding court and flooding the ice.